Barry Cotton, mate. That tweet from the Football Eye. Wow. Every what? Premier League manager has a woman, a thread. You know, I'm a straight man. You know, I'm comfortable within my sexuality and stuff. I could appreciate a good looking man. But then when you turn them into women and you look at Frank Lampard, I'm just like, oi, you know, yeah.
there's a few of them. Arteta looks quite nice as well, but it is like the pretty looking male managers do look, but like then you have people like Graham Potter and Sam Allardyce, and it's like there's no filters or camera trickery in the world for that. So it's
Steve Bruce.
Oh, it looks like Ursula from The Little Mermaid.
Oh, it looks all right.
Yeah.
You're understated because you're a gaffer. Yeah. Not allowed to fancy my gaffer. It's wrong. Yeah. Oh, dear. You can subscribe to us if you like. At Top Football, all social media. Put us name into Google. Our name comes up first. That's pretty tidy. On Ollie yes. And Pogba.
Yes.
How sick was Paul Pogba in that game against Fulham?
Yeah, incredible. I think the first 10 minutes of the game, everyone looked slow and not really up to pace. And I thought Pogba was threatening to have one of those games where he just doesn't dictate the game enough. But then he fully came into the game. And that's the thing, like the goal as well. It's not saying we're going to win the league, not even saying we're like in the midst of a proper title race. But it's those games where Fulham have dropped 11 men behind the ball. You can't break it down. It needs someone with some quality to step up and just do something on their own. And we've been wholly reliant on Bruno to do that recently. So while Bruno wasn't firing on full cylinders yesterday, it's nice to see Pogba just took the game, was like, no, I'm not having this. Gets the ball, takes the touch, 30 yards out. Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely.
Left peg as well. That's what I liked about it. Chocolate Peg, and he hit it. Chocolate Peg, that's not a dig at the fact that he's black. You know, just let everyone know. We call it Chocolate Peg. It's your weak foot. You know. Oh, I'm not even going to explain that anymore. You know, it's your Chocolate Peg, and he had a dig from about 25, 30 yards, and it hit the back of the net, and it was a lovely hit, absolutely lovely hit. And I was scrolling through Twitter early on this morning, and I saw 4Manx1 Toffee. They tweeted a image of it. From sort of like behind him. Remember that one when he scored? Was it against Atalanta? The one he scored for? No, Atalanta. It was, I can't remember who it was against. But that mad goal that he scored from about 30, 40 yards when he was playing for Juve.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Someone's picked it up from behind him. And you just see the trajectory of the ball. I'm just like, oi. Yeah. But I think you lot need a bit of help at right back. Because Wan-Bissaka, how many times have we banged on about Wan-Bissaka being the best defensive right back? And we're like, look, you know, who would you rather have? Would you rather have Trent or AWB? And I personally would say AWB because he offers more defensively. But he just weren't playing the game yesterday. He weren't a part of what Man United were trying to do or trying to achieve. He was just languid. You know, a little jog behind and stuff, allowing Bailly to get himself into silly positions because he weren't helping out and making Bailly look terrible, which I don't think he had a bad game, but he just, Bailly was doing Wan-Bissaka's job, and that's not what he's there for.
I was absolutely raging yesterday on Twitter. Like, even about 5 minutes into the game, I don't want to be constantly negative all the time, but 5 minutes into the game, I'd seen Wan-Bissaka give the ball away twice and be caught out of position twice and just like be slowly meandering back rather than sprinting back to cover his mistake. And I was like, he's not at it today. And as the game went on, it was even more and more evident that he was just, I don't know where his brain was yesterday. Like you said, we're constantly lauding him for being defensively sound, but he wasn't yesterday. And everyone's allowed to have a bad game, don't get me wrong. But the problem is that those kind of mistakes, and I even said it yesterday, I was chatting to you in the WhatsApp group during the game, I said, he's going to give away one more big chance in this game, and he did. They could have scored from it. He needs what Telles did to Luke Shaw. He needs some competition at right back to kick him up the arse and get these performances out of him. But we don't have that at the minute. Obviously, Dalot went out on loan to AC Milan, and they're looking to make it permanent anyway. So obviously, we didn't really have too much faith in Dalot being the one. But yeah, we need cover at right back, which I didn't think I'd be saying this season. But yeah, we need cover at right back desperately. It wasn't it wasn't spectacular from Wan-Bissaka yesterday.
If I'm honest, I know for my game plan and that, but I wasn't overly impressed by United anyway. And like for this season, anyone who's top of the league at that time deserves to be top of the league. I don't care what anyone says. So when Leicester were top, they deserved to be top of the league at the time. When Spurs were top, they deserved to be top of the league at the time. Southampton, etc., etc. Man United are top of the league at the moment, as time of recording, and they deserve to be top of the league. But I'm not inspired when I watch Man United. And I don't know what needs to give in order to make Man United exciting to watch again. So a lot of people will come out and be like, oh yeah, but we beat Leipzig like 5-0 away or whatever it was. It's like four counter-attacking goals, you know, well done. But like, I like a bit of nostalgia a lot. And I like 90s Man United and early 2000s Man United. And they were exciting to watch a majority of the time. Where are you at with that? You know, in a couple of watch-alongs that we've done in that as well, like there's been times where you've just been like, oh, fucking hell, man United have been awful in this game. We've got the 3 points, but we've been awful. I'm just thinking...
I would go as far to say, in the top six, I'd say maybe excluding Leicester, I don't think anyone's been exciting this season. City have won like 8 games in a row now, whatever, 8 or 9 games in a row, whatever it is. I can't remember a game that I've watched them and thought, wow, this is enthralling football, other than last night because Villa gave it a go. I'd say the exciting and entertaining teams in the league have been Villa, have been Leeds and stuff, but where's it got them? If you look at the teams at the top this year, they're the ones that are grinding out results. That no one's really ran away with games this year. Look at Fulham. Fulham have already taken points off of Liverpool. They took points off Tottenham. They threatened to take points off us last night. Like, there's so many teams this year that are just... I'm not going to say anti-football, but there's so many teams that want to disrupt people and stop them playing football. So their games are going to be quite boring. Like, yes, last night's game was boring from a neutral's point of view, but Fulham got a goal after 5 minutes. Then that's it. Their plan was to sit back regardless and not lose. So once they're 1-0 up, mate, honestly, you could put a blanket at any time that we got the ball, there's 11 men on the edge of the box. And it got to the point where even when it was 1-1 and we were looking for a winner, Fulham weren't really trying to even hit us on the break. Every time the ball went into the box, it came out to the halfway line. And there was just Maguire back there on his own, putting the ball out to the wings because they were sat so deep. And I get that we haven't been overly entertaining, but I'd say the league, other than results, the league this year hasn't been overly entertaining. I mean, we criticise Leeds for playing attractive football, but they keep getting slapped. And we've said that that's naive.
So what do you want? Yeah. Do you want attractive football and get battered every week? Or do you want to be pragmatic and scrape a 1-0, 2-1? Yeah. Like, I just look at the 90s and that. And I don't know if it's a generational thing or not, but I think 90s football is the best era for me. Like, when I look at the players, I look at, you know, the old school kits. And it's not even just a Premier League thing. I think it stretches out to Germany, to Italy, particularly Italy, because we had Italian football on our TV. And people would say, oh, that was boring and defensive. But it weren't. It weren't. You just had AC Milan, who were just absolutely relentless at the back because they had Maldini there and Baresi and Nesta and Costa Corta. And then, like, Rossi between the sticks. You're allowed to get away with only conceding, what, like, 2 goals in the whole season, where it's more like 15, but you know what I mean. So, like, it, they were still beating teams like 4-0 and looking comfortable and, you know, enjoyable to watch. Players like Boban and, you know, Savicevic. So, I don't know. Like, I just think 90s football had it down to a T. And just as the game was starting to get a bit quicker into the 2000s, I'll probably say, era-wise, 90s football was number one for my generation. 90s football, then 2000s, and then 2010s.
But yeah, it's just nostalgia, though, because I would, this is going to be an extreme comment, other than the shape of the ball, it's not even remotely the same game as it was in the 90s. Like, if we look at the like the world-class teams of the 90s, teams that we revered, like Ajax and like today, AC Milan, mate, you put them in modern football today, I don't know how well they're going to do. The game has changed. The rules have changed every fucking week. so much has changed. Like, it is, like, you're like me. I love watching Premier League years. I love the early 2000s. I love the late 90s. But again, it's just so different these days. I just don't know if they'd cope. And yeah, it is rose-tinted to look back on stuff. And especially for me, I mean, look at the 90s and 2000s as a United fans' point of view. Every single Premier League, every single Premier League years I watch from the 90s or 2000s, it's like, well, there is a 50% chance I'm going to be watching one where we've won the league. I don't even need to look at the date or the year. I know that it's going to be one of us has won the league. so obviously I like the 90s as well. But yeah, going back to the exciting thing, like, look at how much Mane, Salah and Firmino were like, how terrifying. What have they done exciting this year? What, honestly, like,
beginning of the season, they were all right. And I'll tell you what, right, I'm part of a few WhatsApp groups and that, and there's one that I'm in with World Supply Liverpool fans. And it's it was actually set up by my old pal Bleak, who passed away a couple of months back. So rest in peace, Bleak. But the other Liverpool fans in that group, the delusion between some of them. And I know some of them end up listening to this, and I'm not trying to dig any individuals out, but I swear to God, man, when it comes to Liverpool and the reason for their lack of goals, they're going on about, oh yeah, it's because we haven't got Van Dijk there. Or we're having to play Henderson at the back, so we're sacrificing goals. I understand that Henderson isn't in the middle of your midfield, so therefore is not able to provide as much service to the front line. You've got Thiago Alcantara in the middle of the park, the guy who's able to, you know, thread an eye through a needle with his eyes closed in the dark. So you're telling me that someone like him can't provide you goals? I'm not seeing decent whips in from Robertson and Trent anymore. Oh, and Liverpool fans will be like, oh, it's because they're not getting forward as much anymore. Well, I don't know what game you've been watching, boys, but they are getting forward still. They're still whipping balls in. The all front three are not performing.
Trent and Robertson, I was looking at this yesterday. Trent and Robertson have lost possession more times than anyone in the Premier League this season.
Sorry, that's Van Dijk's fault. Let me light a candle.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, going Liverpool, I just think they're absolutely exhausted. I think they mounted that massive challenge when they just missed out on the league to City. The squad didn't really change. They added one or two players, but it was basically, they start with a core 11. So they pushed all the way to that season, then straight into the next season, which obviously was a weird season last season. And well, they won the Champions League the year before, so that was a slog. Then they pushed all the way last season. Obviously, they had the Club World Championship as well. They took again the same core group of players. So for the last 2.5 years, this same Liverpool 11/15 players have been trying to fight on all fronts, and they just look absolutely exhausted, and not just physically but mentally. I mean, this is why we had that argument about that Villa game where Villa literally played 15-year-olds that were dropped off by their parents. And Jurgen Klopp, who is constantly like, well, we need 5 substitutes, we need fixture breaks, we need this. He started the same team. He didn't rest a single night. What's the point? How
start Nico Williams in that game? Start Phillips in that game? Do you know what I mean?
It's crazy.
And I think Jones did start, actually. But
people were saying, well, they've got Man United next week, so they can't be too rusty. And it's like, I get that. But this is a man that's also, for the last year, been bemoaning the fixture congestion and not having X amount of players to use. So, like, I even said to you in the WhatsApp group, as soon as that team lineup was announced, I said to you, I don't want to hear Klopp moan about fixture congestion or injuries ever, ever, ever again. And it was literally 10 minutes into the game when Mane scored his goal, and Mane went down holding his shoulder looking injured. And I was like, do you know what? Before anyone takes this out of context and say that I want football players or Liverpool players to get injured, a part of me was like, do you know what? That would be karma if he is now injured because you've played him against children when you could have rested him.
Yeah. They didn't. Of course, the kids would have been well up for it, but they didn't need to do that at all. Like, there are so many fringe players at Liverpool at the moment that could help out. They've got defenders on their bench that could be, you know, pushing and vying for a starting position. They've already started a couple games in this season already. That's what I'm talking about. Your man like Phillips at the back, Nat Phillips, he's 24, so he's not exactly a kid. He's played abroad. He's played in the lower leagues of English football, so therefore he knows how to deal with the rough and tumble and all the physicality of the game, if you want to call it that. So why not start him against a bunch of 17-year-olds? He's quick enough in that. So, yeah, you're right. Sounds right, really. on the fixture congestion thing as well, because it was funny that Klopp was moaning about fixture congestion, especially over the Christmas break. They had more of a break between games than any other team in the Premier League. So there's no excuse for what they're doing. I mean, like, I look at Socrates, yeah. Socrates has just left Arsenal. I actually quite like Socrates. I don't know whether he's a snake or not. It's all a bit of talk. But as a defender, if you just want a defender to come in, no nonsense, barely makes a mistake, barely puts a foot wrong, there's someone there available for you there right now. So if Joe Gomez is out for the rest of the season, which more than likely looks so, Van Dijk is back in training, but it looks like he's going to be out for the rest of the season as well. You can then go back to having Matip at the back, alongside Socrates, for argument's sake, and then you could put Fabinho back in front of the back four, and then Henderson in front of them. You know, next thing, you've technically got your strongest side, barring one defender.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did Socrates not play under Klopp as well at Dortmund?
He did.
Yeah, so maybe that might be a move. I don't know, I think he's getting on a bit, isn't he?
Old, you know what I mean? Like, what is he, 30? Ain't nothing wrong with being 30.
You saying about the snake thing, I do think it was quite telling that obviously Ozil and Socrates have both gone this week.
And
Arteta said in his presser earlier, or was it earlier or yesterday, when he said that he basically laughed and said, I think I know who it was. So it's going to be one of the two, isn't it, really? I could see it being Ozil after the way he was treated and stuff, and he'd be like, right, if you're going to treat me with a lack of respect, I'll do the same to you. Who knows? But now they've both moved on.
Yeah, they have. Another thing that happened just today, well, it was a bit quiet more than anything else, weren't it? The Villa City game. Nothing to report. City won 2-0. What else should we talk about? Right, this goal. This goal that was scored by Bernardo Silva, bloody good finish. But the build-up of it has caused a lot of controversy, and there is a lot of scrutiny in and around Law 11. Law 11, it's not the rules, it's not the rule book. The laws of association football, Law 11 is offside. Whew. So, should we read some text? Yes, yeah. Let's do that. In the context of Law 11, offside, the following definitions apply. Nearer to his opponent, goal line means any part of the player's head, body or feet is nearer to his opponent's goal line than both the ball and the second last opponent. The arms are not included in this definition. That's one point. Interfering with play, that's another point. Interfering with the opponent, that's another point. But I want to come to this one. Gaining an advantage by being in that position means playing a ball that A, rebounds or is deflected off him, off the goalpost, off the bar, or off an opponent being in an offside position. Or B, a player that is in a position receiving the ball from an opponent who deliberately plays the ball, except from a deliberate save, is not considered to have gained an advantage. So I read that, and I'm cool with the goal yesterday.
I'm not. I mean, you can read laws and whatever as much as you want. I'll read a text. I'll read in response to your text. I'll read this. Never heard of that rule. Just let players stand offside, then run back and tackle you. In hindsight, I should have cleared it 100%, but didn't even know that was the case. Nonsense. So Tyrone Mings doesn't even know that's the law. And I know what you're, hold on, before you even say, well, the player should brush up on their law. Do you know what? Yeah. How many times have they changed the handball rule this season and we didn't even know about it? That, honestly, that Kieran Gibson the other day, I didn't know that they changed the rule. I had to hear it from Peter Walton, and then there was a tweet about it. So I didn't know that. When they're changing rules mid-season and stuff, how are you supposed to know, first of all? Second of all, right, I understand that Kieran Gibbs, he's getting sent off again. I understand Tyrone Mings, Oxlade-Chamberlain. Yeah. I understand Tyrone Mings, him taking it on the chest, right, has started a new phase, which that in itself is nonsense. But it's not even like, it's not even like Rodri is in his eyesight and he's putting him off, or it's not even like Mings is like, oh well, he's 5 yards off. Watch, he has tackled Mings. He's tackled him, and if Rodri isn't there and hasn't come from 20 yards offside, there is no pressure for Mings whether he needs to take a touch on the chest or whether he needs to hoof the ball out. Right, so if the ball drops straight and Rodri came to tackle him and Mings hoofs that ball out, what's the City get a throw in for that, don't they? They don't get, Villa wouldn't get that offside decision because the linesman wouldn't yeah, really see it. Exactly. But him putting that ball out is a direct response to a City player being in his vicinity and he's kicked the ball out. That's him interfering with play. We've had this conversation this season about certain like players that are offside that haven't necessarily interfered with play, but they've taken a defender out of the eye line. Or was it Johnny Evans last season where he kind of like jumped up for a header because the opposing player was next to him? The opposing player kind of doesn't jump. Evans ends up missing the ball, or whoever it was missed the ball, and the player ran through and scored. And it's like, but he wouldn't be missing that header or having to go for that header if the player wasn't offside.
Look, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And I don't know if you know, Cotton, but I used to be a football referee back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
I got flagged up for a similar situation where I've put the flag up because I'm thinking, well, that player has actually been directly involved with the attacker. So therefore, as far as I'm concerned, that is the same phase of play, because that wouldn't have happened unless it wasn't in an offside position sort of thing. So I've put my flag up, and later that day, the following day, I got my assessment through and I got hammered for it. I got hammered for being incorrect in law. And up to this day, I'm thinking, how was I incorrect? I understand your explanation. I don't understand how that's incorrect in law, because it's come up. But it's like, no, it's because he's made a deliberate attempt to get the ball, like to play the ball. So therefore, the phase has stopped. We have to restart again. But I just think, you know, I feel sorry for Tyrone Mings a little bit in that situation. But my argument, you know, many people, many of us, like, we talk about it quite a lot about, you know, if we all go down the pub and we go play pool, the first thing we do, we don't just lob the money into the pool table and then start playing and smashing balls around, do we? We first say, right, who wants to break? You know, who wants to, you know, are you reds or yellows or spots or stripes, depending on whether you're in Riley's or not? Do you have two shots on the black, the two shots carry, whatever? We always confirm the rules before we play the game. And the laws of the game, I can't tell you any player. If you went to any player and walked up to them and said, what's law 11? They'll be like, I don't know. So I think from academy level, as soon as you are in the academy, from the age of like 14, when you are of an age to be a referee, because you can't be any younger than 14 to be a football referee. Once you get to that age, you should all be given a copy of the laws of the game, and you should all take a test, a basic referee's test. You don't have to go out and referee a game on a Sunday morning. You don't have to do any of that. But I think you need to learn the laws of the game, because it will aid you going forwards.
But the thing is, see, I've got a perfect example, literally, of the example you've just used. So we're saying about the pool, yeah? Now, I play pool in the working men's club, right? They have league rules. Now, I played a game with one of my friends who has been playing pool all his life, literally used to live in Riley's, basically. Mm. And we played in the working men's club. Now, there is a new set of rules for league pool. So basically, if you It's something to do with, even if you hit your ball, the ball has to touch a cushion or two.
Yeah, it has to touch a cushion, yeah. Okay. You can't roll in behind the ball anymore.
Okay, but this is a brand new law brought in this year. Now, my friend didn't know that. So I waited until he did it, and then I was like, two shots. And he was like, what do you mean? And it's the same thing. Unless you're told these, they should, surely Premier League players should be sat down and told this. It's not necessarily on them to just... Because, again, like I said about the handball rule, right, how many times it's changed your season. So players now will have to weekly speak to their representative of the PFA or like whoever's the go-between and say, right, what's new this week? What should we know this week?
The match officials should go to the clubs, like, but they do in the pre-season anyway. They do turn up at clubs and be like, right, okay, these are the new directives. Whether the players choose to listen or not, which happens quite a lot, which is up to them, but they should listen, they should take note, and they should absorb it.
I understand by the letter of the law that goal is okay, but like that's just so robotic. If you're watching that game and you're officiating that game, you've literally just seen a geezer come 20 yards offside to tackle a player. Like, he's interfering with play. Come on, man. Like, there's no ifs or buts about it.
I agree. What he could have done to aid his match control, he could have been like, right, okay, here we go, we'll have an offside for that. Yeah. And no one would have said anything, no one would have complained, and his match control, like, or even as soon as that ball goes in, be like, right, I'm not saying we should do it just to help him out, but let's be real, we could put a lid on this by disallowing the goal. I don't think anyone will complain. But if he's incorrect in law, as a referee, if you're incorrect in law, that's you done. You get paid by the game. You're gonna be out of pocket.
If he disallowed that goal, right? How many people do you think would have been crying on social media saying it's a new as of law 17.2b? It's a new phase of play when Mings chess it. Hardly anyone. There would have been a few small people saying, "Well, it's a new phase of play." I still don't believe it is. But if he would have disallowed it, you'd have had a 200 times less confusion, annoyance. I mean, for Tyrone Mings to come out and tweet that, like, that's not even just him being like, oh, well, I'll take it on the chin. Like, he's fuming, man, as rightly so. Like,
you're allowed to be, of course you're allowed to be pissed off. You're well within your right to be, so.
I hate the argument when he should have just cleared it. But why should he? The guy's just come 20 yards offside. He shouldn't be under pressure to clear it. Like, the flag should just go up. Like,
Tyrone Mings is disappointing me a lot anyway, and I honestly think if Villa went down last year, we wouldn't be chatting about Tyrone Mings too tough. He wouldn't even be forefront of everyone's mind. I do like him, I just don't think he's a very good defender, and I feel like the only reason why he's getting picked at the moment for England in particular is because he's left footed.
Yeah, and I said this when we had this discussion about who should go to the Euros and stuff, and there was talks of Mings and stuff, and I even said at the time, I was like, there is a very long pecking order that he is behind before he starts getting called up. Like, he should be getting called up for England.
Oh, because we can't, man.
Yeah, like, Villa is his level. He's not awful, but he's got mistakes in him. I mean, which defender doesn't at the minute? But
I'm holding.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's him over there. What else is going on?
I'll tell you what I want to touch on just quickly. Some absolute glorious irony. So this week, long suffering Luka Jovic, who you know is one of my favourite players. There's literally a link between all of my favourite players ever. It's like Icardi, Van Nistelrooy, Javier Hernandez, like Jovic. They're all just literally the same fox in the box predator, right? Love you, Luka Jovic. It's no secret. So long-suffering at Real Madrid, he gets back to Frankfurt. He'd been on the pitch 8 minutes. Scores the winner in the 90th minute or whatever. Scores again, makes it 3-1, gets a brace. Wonderful. Last night, Cristiano Ronaldo scores to become officially the highest goal scorer ever in football, although the Czech FA have come out and said...
Oh, yeah, they were like, no, it's more. He scored more than that. I'm sure he has.
Yeah,
but like Pelé syndrome.
But yeah, so Ronaldo broke that record last night and won the Super Copa. All at the same time, Real Madrid are getting knocked out of the cup by a second league team who were playing with 10 men in extra time. And it's just absolutely glorious to see Real Madrid finally getting a little bit of what they deserve, really. The second goal goes in extra time, and Zidane just kind of starts laughing. And I'll tell you what, right, before I get any...
CD Alcayano.
Yeah, before I get any nonsense about, well, they're playing a weakened team, let me tell you this lineup, right? Whether these are second-string Real Madrid players or not, they should be beating League Two teams, right? So I don't know who the goalkeeper was. It was Lunin, fair enough. Odriozola is playing right back. Eder Militao. Usually starts. Victor Schust, fair enough, reserve player. Left back was Marcelo. Then it was a midfield three of Isco. Okay, might be second choice at the minute, but it's Isco.
Isco, yeah.
Casemiro.
Yeah.
First name on a team sheet.
First name.
Valverde, one of the second names on the team sheet. Front three of Vinicius Jr., Lucas Vazquez, and Mariano, so absolutely no, not half these players. The players that then came off the bench, Benzema, Marcus Asensio, Eden Hazard, and Toni Kroos. So it wasn't like they were literally playing.
That's it. Even the starting lineup would be half the teams in La Liga. So to bring all those star-studded players on, that have got World Cup winners' medals against them, Champions League winners' medals against them, and that they, oh my God, that is straight up embarrassing. But it also goes to show that there's so much complacency in like certain football clubs. They think they can just turn up and pick up a win. And now they might be able to go on and win La Liga, but they ain't gonna win the Champions League.
We've literally done shows where we've discussed how badly Real Madrid and Barcelona are both in the middle of a turnover and a rebuild. And they're both really struggling, both in cup competitions, in the league. I mean, Real Madrid, okay, they qualified for the Champions League, but there was a time when we didn't think they were getting out of that group. Like, they've not had a great time. And I don't know why Zidane went back. I really don't. From both party's point of view, I don't know why Zidane decided to go back, and I don't know why Real Madrid wanted him back. It's a mess at the minute at Madrid.
Look, since it's always been a mess there. They expect to win every single game. They expect to win the Champions League every single year. It's been going on since the Galactico days, and you could argue that the teams that they had after their last Champions League success back at that point, you know, like the 2002 team, wasn't even the best Real Madrid team to supersede them for 10 years. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, you know, like, it's all good buying all these players and stuff. And this is where Leicester are just so good at the moment, because Leicester have team spirit. They have cohesion. They all love playing with each other and want to work together for the team. Whereas Real Madrid is like, well, I'm getting paid this. I don't really care. Whatever goes, innit? So, serves them right, really, as far as I'm concerned. But, you touched on a load of points there, because on the Real Madrid and Jovic situation, Jovic only scored 2 goals in his time at Real Madrid, and he matches his record inside. I think he's on the pitch for 21 minutes. He scored on the 72nd minute. Which we spoke about on the Bundesliga show, which you can listen to that on Wednesdays. Apart from this week, where it's just all gone all over the place because it's English week. And then, 91st minute. And it was just an old school move, you know, like bombing down the left, finds Kostic. Kostic whips it in. Who's there? You know, it's just Frankfurt. I wouldn't be surprised if they got top six, if they go on a nice little run. They've got a good enough team there, but it's all tight in the Bundesliga anyway. And you'll be able to listen back to that on I don't know if we've been recording that tomorrow or Saturday. Actually, I'll have to double check. And then Ronaldo, record breaker, is. I have this conversation about who's GOAT, and I change my mind every conversation I have, because every conversation could be geared in whatever direction you want it to. But you can't really deny Ronaldo, can you?
I think it's Ronaldo. I just think he's more of a complete player. But that is, again, it's personal preference. I just love the fact that he's like 6'2", absolutely like monstrous. Like he's a muscly guy. He just impacts. I know Messi is Messi, but I think Ronaldo does more for me. And he scored more. And he's won a national trophy. But, I mean, it is what it is.
And he also can score goals in the dark. And I will never forget that documentary that he did on the Castrol one.
The Castrol, yeah, the Castrol GTX one, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what? I might watch that again tonight, you know.
That's absolutely scandalous.
Because I'm not... Do you know what? I actually think I'm going to be bored, bored stiff watching Liverpool versus Burnley.
1-0 that game finishes, by the way.
Which way? Ben Mee header?
Liverpool. No, it'll be Firmino scores.
Bobby Firmino. Is it worth putting on?
What? That he scored? Maybe.
Liverpool 1-0, Firmino to score.
Scorecast, that'd be quite nice.
A draw 6-1.
Oh.
A draw is 6-1.
What are Liverpool's 1-3 or some absolutely waste of money? Stupid.
Yeah.
Not touching it. Point. I'll tell you what I did have last night. I almost texted you about it, but it was really, really late, and I wasn't entirely sure about it. But top of the table, top. Where are we? Oh no, it was technically this morning, wasn't it? So top of the table. Where's my stuff gone? Where's it gone?
What was it? Is it like Montevideo or something like that?
No. It was Why did I sound like a garage MC there?
He sounded like the beginning of Scatman.
I don't know what's going on here. Hold on. I swear it was... Yeah, okay, so yeah, I don't know why I couldn't find it. So it was a top-of-the-table clash, right, between Sao Paulo and Internacional. Sao Paulo were top, but Internacional's form was like win, and Sao Paulo hadn't won in like 3 games, and Internacional were away, right? So they were 3-1 because they were away, and I was like, right, they're trying to trick me here with giving me even money on Sao Paulo. Oh, no better. So I literally... All I did was stuck a tenner on Internacional, right, at 3-1. So annoyed. The game finished 5-1 Internacional.
Oh, could have, -1, -2.
Millions. Millions.
Good old boy. Better to score, -2, yada, yada. You had a right party, that.
3 in the morning.
There you go. Before we go, I don't know, you got anything else you want to...
Well, not anything football related. Just warning people that I think today might be the day that I actually attempt one of those do your own fades at home. So,
okay,
watch out for this space.
Before you go out there, and the last football thing I've got to say is Scott Brown comes off the bench in a 2-2 draw to Livingston for Celtic on the 78th minute and gets sent off on the 83rd. I think that's just. If you want a definition of Scott Brown, that is what you get. That is what you find.
Scott Brown doing Scott Brown things. Was there anything else remotely interesting? Oh, Roma got pumped in the Coppa Italia as well. Lost to, I can't remember the name. I should do.
Spezia, wasn't it?
Spezia in extra time. Roma down to 9 men.
About hair as well. I'll show you because we're not on cam. Well, we're on cam, but we're not for the for the viewing public. I've got an afro cone.
Oh, you're actually getting a little fro there as well, yeah.
I know, man, honestly. So this is even more reason to keep the hat going, the hat game strong.
Yeah.
And just get rid of that.
Well, honestly,
shit on my face.
Like I said the other day, I didn't manage to get my hair cut before the full lockdown and stuff. So I haven't had my hair cut in about 2 or 3 months now, and it's really starting to pit. Like, I'm literally, you can see where I'm going grey as well.
That is almost as well. That will almost is at levels to start smashing some mad proper 90s curtains.
I know.
I think you should bring it back. Be a trendsetter, man.
There we are.
Look at that. You look a pedo.
I do. Where's my glasses? Hold on.
Do not approach this man. Oh my God, look at that. Oh God, bloody hell. Anyway, that'll do, I reckon. Don't forget, of course, you know, subscribe to our YouTube stuff. Would love that if you did, because yeah, that's what we want to do. We got nearly 750 subscribers, and it would be lovely if we get that over 750 and close to the 800 before the end of the month. So we've got like 10 days. So like, share, subscribe, tell your pals, at Tup Top Football on all social media platforms. And did you know if you put Tup Top into Google, our name comes up first? Ooh, well, now you do. Now you do. Yeah, catch you later.
Bye.